It is time now for Aging Well, brought to you today by the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University and underwritten by the folks at Wright and Philippus. And on our conference line, we have Dr. Hector Gonzalez, who is assistant professor at Wayne State University. And for many years, Dr. Gonzalez has done research with the older Latino population. Things like stress, cognitive and functional changes, and rates of depression in older Latinos. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And if you have questions for Dr. Gonzalez, join with us at 248-557-3300. Dr. Gonzalez, good morning and welcome.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Allison. How are you today?
Or should I say buenos dias?
Muy buenos dias a usted. Y si quiere hacer la entrevista en español.
I speak español un poquito, pero malo.
That's okay.
It's been a long time for you.
I'm glad to hear it, though. That's delightful.
Well, that was one of the languages I studied when I was in college, and then I had a year of it, and I never spoke it really fluently. But
well, you got to use it when you were in
when
Arizona.
When I was in the Army, I was stationed on the Mexican border, and at a fort down there in Arizona, and I used to go down to Nogales or Naco or Alaprita.
Oh, yeah, I know the area well.
And I would practice my Espanol haltingly, but I had a chance to use it a little bit.
It's a very good and handy language to have, and especially in the upcoming years.
We have a wonderful Latino community here.
Oh, we do.
In Detroit. It's one of the larger ones in the country, I think.
That it is, and it's a very rich and vibrant community, and I've gotten to know a few folks. I'm from the Southwest as well.
Oh,
I'm
from
New Mexico and been in the Detroit area for a few years now.
You have a regular American accent, though. You don't.
Well, I was born in this country, more and more folks are being born in this country.
Oh,
my folks are from Mexico, though.
Yeah.
I immigrated a few years ago.
And you were born here.
I was born in Texas, Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Austin, Texas. I've been there. And
Lake Travis.
Anyway, with the Latino community here, let's talk about the particular problems that you're finding in this group. And, for example, are they at an increased risk for certain conditions as they get older?
Well, that's an interesting question, Bob, and I'm glad you asked, is that I have been looking at Latinos originally in Sacramento, California, where I was at UC Davis.
Yeah.
And then when I got here to Michigan, I was at the University of Michigan for a while, and we did a little study in Southwest Detroit looking at older Latinos, 60 and older.
Yeah.
And even going back a little further, I'm a clinical neuropsychologist, and so I worked in the Alzheimer's disease and research centers in California and at Michigan as well. And I was called upon to interview and do evaluations, dementia evaluations, essentially, with older Latinos, and mostly Mexicans. And what I found in interviewing a lot of these folks, first of all, like you were trying to do, is we were speaking in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And their physicians were, or whoever had done previous evaluations, probably weren't speaking in Spanish with these folks. And so I was asked to evaluate these folks in Spanish for dementia. And what I found a lot was certainly many of the folks were having some problems with learning and memory problems, what you'd see in Alzheimer's disease and dementia. But I also saw a lot of folks with depressive conditions, depression, major depression, maybe just a little bit of a depression, as well as cognitive problems. And I've done a lot of community work going out and visiting with a lot of older folks, and regularly I get pulled aside and asked about questions of an older adult maybe having about memory problems, concerns that they have about dementia or Alzheimer's disease for themselves or for someone they care about, a neighbor. And and if it was about themselves, again, you'd see this pattern where, yes, they just lost their husband, wife, a family member, and depression kept coming up. Here's my take on this as a public health person, is that at this stage, unfortunately, we don't really have a cure for dementia.
No.
or Alzheimer's disease.
I'm hoping it will be soon because I worry about losing my memory.
Yeah, we all do. I mean, it's a serious concern.
You get older and you start having those senior moments and you get scary.
Well, that's right. And so a lot of folks are concerned about this. And so the point being is that you can't really, at this stage, we can't really treat or cure Alzheimer's disease, but we can do something about other conditions like depression.
Like depression, right.
Yeah, well, there's a fairly effective therapies out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
medical, I mean, prescription medicines, too.
There are prescription medications as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we were, I found, one of the things that folks ought to know out there on the listening is that that's one of the major symptoms of depression is problems with concentration
mm-hmm.
and cognition. And so if you can treat that, maybe you might see a little bit of an improvement, maybe enough to allay those worries about memory problems
mm-hmm.
and possibly Alzheimer's.
And depression is a tough thing to diagnose anyway.
That's right.
And so many people have it and they don't realize it because they have it in a milder form and it has all kinds of ramifications. You can't sleep well. You have a lot of different factors with depression and it just doesn't get diagnosed properly.
It doesn't get diagnosed properly and it's a tough one to find. And when you start getting, look, a lot of the our good doctors out there
mm-hmm.
are English-speaking, well-intended, and very good folks serving our older...
Relating to a person who doesn't speak English well.
That's right.
Or maybe not even at all.
Or even English, Spanish, or even between African-Americans and people raised in different communities. I mean, it's tough enough to communicate something as subtle as depression someone you can identify with.
Attitudes toward illness or mental health or doctor's visits or just attitudes toward aging in general are very different in
right.
different countries that you go to.
Well,
and
even within
this country.
I wonder
how these cultural differences affect the health of older Latinos here in the southwest Detroit area.
Well, I think if we can go a little bit bigger than that,
okay.
even between men and women,
oh.
is that what we see is that nationally, is that we see that women tend to get diagnosed with depression almost twice the rate that of men.
Of men, yeah.
And men just don't really speak up.
Yeah, that's. I think that's.
What was that?
The reason.
Men are. There's this whole effort by the National Institute of Mental Health.
Yeah.
Is that. Men just don't really want to talk about it.
They don't want to admit it.
That's right.
It's like talking about sex and that kind of thing. You know, for years, nobody ever talked about ED. And now, erectile dysfunction.
You can't turn the darn television on.
You can't turn it on.
You can't go anywhere without it.
But these are things that, you know, there are a lot of things like that that people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the end of life.
That's right. I mean, there's so many things.
You can't hardly blame them for that. I'm not saying it's a negative thing, but it's so important that you talk about these things. You should talk with your doctor about depression.
Yeah,
maybe that's depressing to think
about. That may be, but the good news is that I think for a lot of folks who have memory problems is that if they get a good full evaluation, is that there may be something else. There may be other things going on, a whole host of problems that can be going on that if you catch early enough, is maybe you can forestall some other problems down the road. I think a case in point is my mother was rushed to the ER
yeah.
a few months over a year and a half ago, my goodness. And they were concerned that she was having a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was her salts levels, not
yep.
going into all the details, had been thrown off. She had gotten dehydrated.
Oh, dear.
And it was a scary thing. I mean, she could have.
Yeah.
Really, she could have died.
She could have died.
And this is not uncommon, is it?
It's not uncommon. But where they said, well, this is dementia, and then she got a further evaluation, got her salt levels back to normal, she was able to recover and be as ornery as ever. Bless her soul.
Thank goodness she didn't have the dementia.
No, we're very glad. But it's a scary thing. So, again, certain medical things, including depression, can get misdiagnosed.
Oh, absolutely. We are talking with Dr. Hector Gonzalez from the Wayne University's Institute of Gerontology. He's a professor there at Wayne State. If you have questions for Dr. Gonzalez, he's a neurosurgeon.
Neuropsychologist.
Pardon?
Neuropsychologist,
excuse me.
That's all right.
And if you have questions for Dr. Gonzalez, join with us at 248-557-3300. And we'll be back with Dr. Gonzalez in just 1 minute. The people who are underwriting our conversation today are the wonderful folks who are the leaders in the home health care field, the folks at Wright and Philippus.
I'm A.J. Philippus, president of Wright & Philippus. People come through our doors needing items such as portable oxygen, wheelchairs, and diabetic shoes. But when they leave, they have much more than a medical product. They leave with a better quality of life. That's our daily mission at Wright & Philippus, and it's why we'll work harder to provide you with the caring service you expect from the area's leading home health care company. Over the past 60 years, we've earned a reputation for providing the best service in the industry. It will always be our company's number one goal and is our commitment to you. If you or a family member need anything for home health care, please visit the Wright & Philippus nearest you. We have more than 30 locations throughout the state to serve you.
Wright & Philippus, first to serve your home health care needs.
And if you don't go online and you can't go to firsttoserve.com, you can always call the folks at Wright & Philippus. They have a toll-free number, 1-800-482-0222. As I said, we're talking with Dr. Hector Gonzalez from the Institute of Gerontology, where he's studying aging. And I understand, Doctor, that you recently received a new grant. Tell us about that and what information you're going to be gathering and how it will affect the lives of Latinos particularly.
Well, thanks for asking. Yeah, I just received a substantial grant from the National Institute of Mental Health, and what I propose and am doing now with their support is looking at the epidemiology of depression in older adults in the whole country. So we should, once this is all said and done, is be able to describe depression in later life, but also, and importantly, be able to describe depression among various ethnic groups, including not just Latinos, but Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Cubans, as well as among various Asian groups. And the reason this is important is that our current understanding of depression in the U.S. is about 30 years old. And what I argue is that a lot has changed in the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
The population has grown. The population is older. The population of the U.S. is more diverse. And so our earlier understanding doesn't really give us a good flavor for the ethnic diversity as well as the types of problems that certain ethnic groups may have in particular. Now, one of the areas of particular interest for myself and my colleagues at the Institute of Gerontology is how certain medical conditions like diabetes, which affects a lot of Latinos and African Americans and a lot of Americans, diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, heart attack can relate to depressive conditions. Certainly being sick is depressing, but
yes.
Does it affect the brain? Does it affect our ability to function independently? So we hope to update our understanding, and what that we hope that'll do is, one is point out where the needs are needed in the country, and how we can allocate resources and the appropriate resources to the proper communities. And so that's what we're currently undergoing. We just started up, and we're hitting the ground running, shovel ready, so to speak, and we're publishing a lot of reports already from it, and it's kind of high profile national sorts of reports that I'm glad that folks like you are taking an interest in helping us get the word out.
Oh, yeah, very much so, because we have an older audience here on Ask Your Neighbor. That's because we're the oldest radio show in Detroit. I think I've been doing this show for 47 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was a young guy when I started this show, and now I'm in my late 70s. And we have a whole lot of neighbors who listen who are in that same situation. They were young housewives and young workers at the time, and now they're retirees, or they're in their 70s or 80s, or even we have lots in their 90s. And so we're interested in aging well. That's one of the big interests of our audience. And so we love to have people like you on here. As a matter of fact, I know that you moderated a panel recently at the Institute of Gerontology when they did their Healthier Black Elders reception. We've been talking about Latinos, but you have worked with the black community as well. And I was kind of curious what kind of issues that you got from that audience when you were moderating the panel.
Oh, boy. The major concern I heard were, it was about health care and access to health care, and whether or not the proposed reforms for health care, what kind of impact that will have on them. And look, when we get older, our bodies ache a little bit more, as you know,
about that.
And our health care needs go up.
Yeah.
And so, rightfully so, a lot of seniors in the community, every community across the country, as you've seen from the news media.
There are no ethnic boundaries on
there's no boundaries there, but I think we're all on the same page that whatever reforms happen need to be constructive.
Do you have any opinions about the health care reform that they're talking about?
Well, I do, as a matter of fact, and if I can share them, I'd
sure
be glad
do.
To. Is that I think that I've worked for the VA hospital. I've
mm-hmm.
worked with a lot of seniors, and I know that a lot of folks are concerned about not having to pay out of pocket or being
mm-hmm.
turned away for these pre-existing conditions. So I've looked at comparisons between this country and those in Europe and around the world, and my opinion is that a public option for health care that may have some government involvement may be a good competitor to what's out there privately. And that
they've been talking recently about that public thing, and there's a lot of debate about that, and they were talking about these cooperative groups organizing to give public health care. Do you know anything about the cooperatives? Nobody's explained that yet, as far as I know.
Yeah, I don't know if I can give that any better definition, but what I could tell you is that once we're able to negotiate
mm-hmm.
and bargain for medications, which costs, as you know,
I bet it's skyrocketing.
Skyrocketing. Ask anybody,
and it's ridiculous too, because they don't the pharmaceutical companies don't charge those prices to other countries.
That's right. So
shame on them.
We're subsidizing those bills abroad.
Yeah, that
and
is really,
I mean, obviously, they need to make their money to do some fine research and development.
Yeah, they should charge the same price to everybody. I mean,
well, and I think that's one of the problems when you don't have a strong
when you don't have the competition. Yeah,
yeah. So I think the competition is good, and if the competition from the government if they lose, then in the competition, then you know we may have
so
a more efficient.
Well, we have a major government involvement in Medicare. Let's
yeah.
face it, you know, that's a government program, and most people don't think of it as being a government-run program, but it certainly is.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Medicare is a great model that is out there. I think I was alluding to the VA system
mm-hmm.
with all its problems. You know, it's not
it's
perfect system.
Got a lot of problems.
But everybody's covered, and we don't have to worry about changing jobs or losing jobs or being excluded for pre-existing medical conditions, including mental health problems.
Oh, yeah, which are growing.
Which are growing,
yeah.
And if you do have it in your record, not just mental health problems, but other conditions that aren't disclosed, you could get dropped, and you're paying out of pocket, and that's something that is very scary to a lot of folks.
We are talking with Dr. Hector Gonzalez from the Institute of Gerontology down at Wayne State University. And if you've got a quick question for Dr. Gonzalez, give us a call. We've got some lines open, 248-557-3300. And we'll be back and talk about some other things here that are very interesting in just a moment. But something that's interesting for people who can't get out of their house. I mean, a lot of people are housebound. They can't go to the doctors. House calls on wheels brings everything to you, both medical and non-medical services in your home. Now, they can bring in doctors or dentists or nurses or therapists and more, and those medical services are covered by Medicare and most private insurance plans and all sorts of non-medical services, whatever you need to stay comfortable in your home. And right now, if you use 4 hours or more of non-medical services per month, you will get a free personal emergency button telephone that you can use for both emergencies or for daily use. Call House Calls on Wheels for further information. It's a toll-free number, 1-888-489-8980. House Calls on Wheels. That's 1-888-489-8980. Doctor, let's talk about listeners outside of the Latino community, whether they're any racial or ethnic background, and talk about aging well, which is what you study down there at the IOG. What kind of tips do you have for us in terms of growing old and aging well?
Right. Well, what we seem to see regularly is the any kind of mental activity that a person can engage in. And I think by and large people do this. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, crossword puzzles or anything of that sort, but
I like crossword puzzles. And
well, crossword puzzles work. I'm not saying anything bad about that. It's
no.
But even engaging in conversation and social interactions all seem to keep us alert.
Yeah. Something like learning a new language.
Yeah, well, there you go. You almost were on the right track at the beginning of this interview with your Spanish to renew that again. But
well, it won't be long before we say adios or hasta la vista or what, you know, whatever's appropriate.
I think Sigmund Freud said it best over 100 years ago, is that you know, to live and work or love and work are what he thought were essential to happiness, and I think those are two main ingredients to keeping a positive outlook that'll keep you going and keep you energized to get out and walk and or get some activity and keep yourself occupied and invested in something that'll keep your mind active.
How big a problem is it for people who are really become solitude? You know, they're at home and they never go out, or very rarely, except when they need to go to the matter of fact, the only socialization they have is going to the doctor. There are people like that.
Oh, there's
plenty of
them.
Is that a big problem, or is that just a small percentage of the people?
Well, I think as you alluded, or as the advertisement alluded to, there's a significant population, and it's going to grow.
Yeah.
That become homebound, and I don't think we are quite ready for that. Those kinds of transitions.
Yeah.
Providing in-home services are wonderful for people who can't get out.
Well, you know, for several generations now, we have not honored the elderly. We have put our emphasis on young people. And when I was a kid, and this is like 70-some years ago, we still respected and honored older people. And then after the war, things changed. And
it is a bit youth-oriented now.
I think
now.
The boomers are going to change that, and we're going to get back to putting the right emphasis on aging, and that will be good for everybody, I think.
Right, and traditionally, who has been honoring those seniors is a lot of those youngsters who are going and checking on grandmother and visiting with her and helping her or him, grandfather as well.
Well, you know, it's a
role. I mean, I see a lot of kids these days who have too much time on their hands, and to be helping a older adult is a very rewarding and almost humanly innate
yeah.
natural sort of thing to do.
Doctor, I hate to say it, but it is time to say adios. And it has been wonderful talking with you. You've been delightful. If people had questions for you, is there some way they can contact you?
Sure. I'm at the Institute of Gerontology. My telephone number is 313-577-2297.
557-2297.
That's right.
That's the IOG's number. And as for Dr. Hector Gonzalez. Doctor, muchas gracias.
A usted y adios.
And adios.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Before we go, a word from the folks at Cruise Hearing.
In a world filled with sound, do you experience silence? Do you avoid family functions and group outings because you know you won't be able to understand anyone? I'm Joshua Cruz, president of Cruise Hearing. A hearing problem is more than just turning up the volume on your TV or radio. Hearing loss affects our moods, our personalities, and most importantly, our relationships with the ones we love. If you or someone you know is withdrawing themselves from family and friends, or just isn't hearing the way that they used to, please call me for a complimentary hearing evaluation. We have 3 convenient clinic locations in Farmington Hills, Taylor, and Walled Lake. Call me at 248-474-8161. That's 248-474-8161. At Cruise Hearing, we reconnect our patients to the world of better hearing.
All right, stay tuned now for Dennis Myers and Town Talk. Have yourself a wonderful day. Thank you for sharing the morning. I'm Bob Allison. Rob and I will see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
This is WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit. Your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 680 nights. WNZK has available a few good hours of airtime for a few good programs to serve their communities. Radio is better than ever in targeting an audience that listens to what you say. Learn more about this exciting radio broadcasting opportunity by calling WNZK Radio.